Welcome to the Full Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording at 1:04, and that's Pacific Summer Time. And today is Columbus Day, so some businesses are closed and some are opened, and the market was reasonably quiet as a result. So the S&P 500 is relatively unchanged, the Nasdaq is up a bit. Generally speaking, on European stock markets, the majority were in negative territory, but not in a dynamic way. And where the real news was in the energy sector, but also in Asia, where the Nikkei was stronger by 1 2/3%, just about. The Hang Seng by about 1.2%. And a nice pop on the upside from China. It's been relatively inert. And that alone tells us something, that the short sellers have lost their impetus, and not least because they banned short selling. And then also that the government has been supporting the banking sector, and the bank's shares have been reasonably inert. And when you have those types of situations, then you get short-term range, and ranges, as we talk about at the chart seminar, are explosions waiting to happen, and that's what we've had. So the mainland stock market in China was up by over 1% today, and follow-through tomorrow really would be encouraging. So it's perhaps too early yet to become very enthusiastic, but certainly an awful lot of the excess has been unwound from that market, and bearish sentiment is such that you have to know that people have either sold or have got short positions in there, and then you have to look at valuations. And the Hang Seng and the China Enterprises, or the H-share index, are in single-digit multiples with globally competitive yields. Then you look at some of the high-growth sectors within China, like the healthcare sector, and it's the ticker for that on our system is the S&P CITIC 300 China Healthcare Index, and the ticker is CSSP and HTC for the healthcare sector, and that's pulled back to test the upper side of what had been a significant trading range, and it's found at least near-term support. Well, things would have to get bad in a big way for the healthcare sector, which represents just a phenomenal growth story within China, to pull back very much more than it already has. There's still a number of the small cap shares are not yet trading, but there are of those that are trading, I can't see any significant company that is making new lows. So China is now back at an interesting level, generally speaking. In the energy sector today, oil prices were down by about $2. And that was $2.30 on the on WTI and almost $2.40 on Brent crude. The Brent is back to $50, WTI is back to $47. And the reason for that pullback was because OPEC production has actually been rising rather than falling. When we look at OPEC, there are a number of moving parts, and not least the fact that the US dollar has been firm. That's put some incredible pressure on Latin American producers in particular, but also the fact that perhaps the easiest way to think about it is that Saudi Arabia and Iran are fighting a proxy war in Syria and the western half of Iraq. And in addition to that, you could add Yemen in there too. So neither is going to cede any part of their market share to the other by reducing their supply. And that puts enormous pressure on some of the weaker economies. So that's also a recipe for oil prices ranging, that there's a great deal of supply becomes uneconomic at 40 and becomes progressively more economic the higher prices go. It's hard to imagine a recovery scenario for oil that doesn't involve either a geopolitical event or really sustained economic growth that would help demand to tick upwards. And we can't rule that latter out. We've had a substantial deterioration in a number of commodity-based and emerging middle-class currencies, and not least in Latin America and Asia. And that hasn't been for any good reason, but so there's been a lot of bad news priced in, would be the better way of saying that. And what the other way of thinking about it is that that's going to represent just an incredible boost to competitiveness for some of those economies. So the potential for growth to start picking up in the first or second quarter of next year is really quite a compelling argument. And then you have to think about how does the commodity market function. You don't generally get peaks because demand deteriorates. You get it because you have a supply surfeit, and that's exactly what we have right now. Demand hasn't really ticked downwards. Demand growth might have moderated some bit with the slowing of the Chinese economy, but there's every likelihood that that's going to pick up once again. We continue to see that there is improving governance in some of the largest population countries in the world, and that's a substantial move. That's something that is going to represent demand growth for the foreseeable future, and not least because prices are low. That means that growth could pick up next year, and we might be beginning to see that being priced into some of these markets, where the currencies have at least stabilized in the short term. Now, so far those rallies have been limited to mean reversion, and a successful test of the low or encountering support above their respective lows would be really very welcome news indeed for some for anyone looking at those markets. But a corrective phase on Wall Street represents an opportunity in some sectors, and generally when you get a corrective phase, what you get is rotation, and what we are now getting is rotation into some of these emerging markets or into the commodity complex. Well, oil today was a little bit overbought and has pulled back somewhat, but gold was stronger by $5, and it's back up testing the region of the moving average, and platinum was up by 15. It's rapidly unwinding its oversold condition, and it's back to test the $1,000 level. At the beginning, the end of last week, platinum was at its most oversold relative to the price of gold that it's been in years. And this has been really quite a substantial short covering rally over the last six sessions. And there isn't any great evidence yet that it is over, but it is now testing the progression of lower rally highs. Some consolidation in this area certainly couldn't be ruled out. And the price of silver has been really quite steady, and it's trading back above $15, and really quite a bit closer. It was above $16 in here today. When we look at the commodity complex generally, there's been a great deal of bad news already priced in. And you look at your investment banks and big trading houses that quite obviously have large short positions, and they're trying to talk the market down. But I think the iron ore market represents really a very interesting case study, where you have an oligarchy that represents a substantial dominant position in low-cost production. Then they have the ability to drive prices down and to drive higher-cost producers out of business. That certainly happened in the iron ore market. And iron ore prices bottomed in April. And there's been an incremental progression of higher reaction lows since then. That isn't necessarily observable in the respective iron ore shares, because some of them are really quite highly leveraged. But you can see it in both Rio Tinto and in BHP, which have been relatively inert. They're confined still to volatile ranges, but they haven't been really making significant new lows, and both bouncing from round numbers. Well, then think about Glencore, where it has a substantial position in terms of the production of zinc in particular, but also copper. And what they're doing is reducing their supply in order to support prices. Well, when you think about the position of a dominant supplier taking that kind of control of the market, well, that's the kind of thing. Removing a substantial source of supply from a falling market is where you start to see supply and demand coming back into balance. And it means that then it would be foolhardy to start to make aggressive predictions about substantially lower prices. Because where is the additional supply going to come from if they are removing it from the market. Therefore, this is an interesting area. This is an interesting period of time for commodities, and not least because a substantial number are really very oversold, and that isn't just in the industrial or the energy sector, but in the soft commodities. And sugar, having been as low today, white sugar in trade in London was in negative territory for much of the day and finished just in positive territory. That's a 5-year downtrend, which may currently be in the process of being broken. It's a little bit overbought in the short term, and the success of prices to be able to find support in the region of the moving average on any kind of significant pullback will be very telling indeed. White sugar might be leading. Coffee hasn't yet broken its progression of lower rally highs, but it has firmed, and it firmed again in here today, and it's back testing the region of the moving average, having unwound its oversold condition. Soybeans has been reasonably inert, but it needs to do more, and corn, having rallied for the last couple of weeks, looks like it is going to unwind that short-term overbought condition. What we are seeing is that individual commodities are behaving on their own individual merits. And lumber was limit up in here today. It was up a full $10. And lumber prices have been trending lower for much of the last 2 years. And because of the weakness of the Canadian dollar and the competitive advantage that gives to lumber mills north of the border, then that resulted in prices falling rather dramatically from the summer of this year. They went from 300 to almost 220 and are now engaged in a mean reversionary rally. Well, it looks like they might go a bit further from here, and then we'll see what happens. Will they be able to break the progression of lower rally highs? Will they be able to sustain moves above their respective 200-day moving averages? We're certainly engaged in a powerful rally, and that's an interesting situation that we're in. And thank you very much, and wish all the best to all of you.